2 Chronicles chapter 2. Now Solomon purposed to build a house for the name of Yahweh and a house for his kingdom. Solomon counted out 70,000 men to bear burdens and 80,000 men who were stone cutters in the mountains and 3,600 to oversee them. Well, God had told David to start with that he didn't really want this temple, but David wanted to push ahead anyway, and Solomon also wants to do it. So God does accept it, but it's not really what God wanted. He wanted to dwell in the hearts of humble people. And he says to David, "You don't build me a house, I will build you a house of people who will become an eternal kingdom." And you see here how people prefer to do works for God rather than believe, really believe, that he will save me by grace. Well, the number of people that he had involved, tens of thousands of people with 3,600 taskmasters over them, in order to build this temple, to build his own house, and then to build store cities, this all, I'm afraid, sounds rather like what Pharaoh did to the Israelites in Egypt. And of course, Pharaoh's daughter was married to Solomon. Now, Pharaoh isn't an individual, it's a title that means like a king. So it wasn't obviously the same Pharaoh, but I'm afraid Solomon seems to have been influenced by the ways of Egypt, and that's the trouble. You don't marry a person so much as marry a family. He'd married into the Egypt family, and he was influenced by them, I'm afraid, and it wasn't a good influence. Well, when Solomon dies, the people come to his son Rehoboam and they say, "Your father whipped us, your father abused us, please lighten up a bit." And I think he got so obsessed with all this building that he ended up abusing people. There's a huge number of people with taskmasters over them. Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, saying, "As you dealt with David my father and sent him cedars to build him a house in which to dwell, so deal with me. Behold, I am about to build a house for the name of Yahweh my God, to burn before him incense." Well, yeah, David had said to God, "I live in a house of cedar. It's not right that your ark lives beneath curtains." And God had said, no, that's okay, David. I don't want a house." But Solomon really does miss the point here. So he says, "The house which I build is great, for our God is great above all gods. But who is able to build him a house, since heaven and the heaven of heavens can't contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, except just to burn incense before him?" So Solomon sort of gets the theory right, that of course you can't build a house for God to live in. But then he goes ahead and does it. It's rather like us. We can know the theory, but just not apply it. So he says to Hiram, "Send me a man talented to work in gold, silver, brass, iron, purple, crimson, and blue, who knows how to produce engravings, to be with the talented men who are with me in Judah, whom David my father provided." You know, Solomon uses that phrase, "David my father," or "my father David," hundreds of times. He's like totally obsessed with his father. He wants to be like his dad, and he can't quite get out of that. And it's not until he's an old man, we're told, that his heart turned away from God unto the idols. So you could say that for all those years, he maybe never really truly personally believed. He was living out the expectations of his dad. And that's what you've got to be so careful of, that each man must cut his own path through the jungle. Each person must stand individually in relationship with God and Jesus. All parents can do is to set you on the path. But you've got to go yourself that way and have your own ministry, your own relationship with God. So Hiram, king of Tyre, replied, "Because Yahweh loves his people, therefore he has made you king over them. Blessed be Yahweh, God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who has given to David the king a wise son with discretion and understanding, that should build a house for Yahweh and a house for his kingdom. Now I have sent a talented man, endowed with understanding, of Huram, my father's, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, talented to work in gold, silver, brass, iron, stone, timber, purple, blue, etc. Now therefore, the wheat and the barley, the oil and the wine which my lord has spoken of, let him send to his servants, and we will cut wood out of Lebanon as much as you shall need. We will bring it to you in floats by sea to Joppa, and you shall carry it up to Jerusalem. So Solomon was actually trading with this Hiram, king of Tyre. The cedar wood wasn't given freely. He had to pay for it with wheat, barley, oil and wine. Well, you do rather wonder about all this. You just wonder whether really this was a sign of doing it all in his own strength. When the tabernacle was built, the Israelites gave whatever they had as materials, and that was used. And God gave his Holy Spirit to give wisdom to the people who were doing the work. Whereas here, he has to get someone in who's only half Israelite, who's in fact living up there in Tyre, and he has to effectively buy all the materials from outside of Israel. So you do get the impression that somehow this wasn't quite right. He was doing this in his own strength. And that is why, in my opinion, the idea of having a physical temple in the longer term never really prospered. And God himself says that he ripped it down stone by stone at the time when the Babylonians invaded.